In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This week we begin a period of anticipation as we prepare to enter into Great Lent. I know most of us enjoy those times when we're not fasting, but nevertheless, if you are entering into the spirit of the fast and you have gone through Holy Week and Pascha, after having done so and you experience the joy of the resurrection, you look to this time with some joy, because you know that even though during Lent you're not going to be able to eat all the things that you want to do, and that you're going to be spending a lot of time doing things that are not easy to do in the flesh, nevertheless, there's a great beauty to it, and it ends with great joy. The meaning of the parable that we heard today is very important, and it's the first lesson we get as we are told by the church how to prepare ourselves to enter properly into this time. And the gospel writer Luke tells us what this parable means in the verse that precedes it. He says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." So he makes it very clear up front what the point of this parable was, lest anyone be confused. And the obvious point is that we shouldn't trust in ourselves that we are righteous, and we also should not despise others. If we are righteous at all, it's only through repentance and trusting in God's mercy. If we come to believe that we are righteous by our own merit, then we have cut ourselves off from God's grace. And the parable begins, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican." We are so accustomed to hearing about Pharisees as being bad guys, and the Gospels, the publicans, are very often turn out to be the good guys. So when we hear Pharisee, we probably in the back of our mind have the tinny piano playing where it signals that a villain is entering onto the screen. And with the publican, we're thinking that this is the good guy. But the original hearers of this parable would have thought just the opposite. They would have thought that the Pharisee was the good guy. He was the person who was serious about his faith. And publicans, they all had a very low opinion of, because publicans not only collected taxes for the Romans, but they usually made their living by taking more than what they were really required to, and they became very wealthy as a result. So they were looked at as traitors and bloodsuckers, and they literally robbed widows and orphans, and they took food out of the mouths of children, and so they were not thought of as good people. Then we're told the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." One very interesting phrase that you hear at the beginning of this is that we're told that he prayed thus with himself. This means that he was standing apart from everyone else, and also his prayer was focused on himself. It was like he was talking to himself with God as a hopeful audience, and he was patting himself on the back at what he had accomplished as a Pharisee. He didn't come seeking anything from God at all. He comes into the temple, he comes to a place where he could seek God, he could seek God's mercy, he could receive repentance, but instead he comes to the temple to tell God how great he's been doing. He wasn't actually thanking God for anything that God had done, but actually he was thanking God that he was what he was, that he had accomplished all this in his own strength. The problem here was not that he fasted twice in the week or that he tithed. The problem was that he believed that his actions made him righteous before God, and he didn't have the slightest awareness of his own sins or his need for God's mercy. Christ elsewhere in the Gospels, when he's giving the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawyers a lecturing during Holy Week, he says to the Pharisees, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you tithe the least seeds, and yet you neglect the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy." And he says, "These you ought to have done and not left the other undone." So what he was saying was, you should have done these greater things, But you should have also done the tithing part. And so he wasn't saying that it was wrong that they tithe, but the Pharisees focused only on these external things. It was easy to quantify your tithes. It was easy to walk into the temple and to put your tithe there and for everybody to see. It wasn't so easy for you to actually live a just life, to love your neighbor as yourself, as the Jews were already commanded to do in the law of Moses. That was the part that wasn't so easy for everybody else to see. And so the Pharisees tended to focus on the externals rather than on what was really important. But both are important. The externals are not something that we can blow off, but they're not all there is to the faith. And so when we, as Orthodox Christians, keep the fast, that's something that we should be doing. But we shouldn't think, well, I keep the fast, so therefore I've got it made, you know, or I go to church, I make the sign of the cross. Those are important things, and what we do externally affects the way we are internally, but that's not all there is to it. You have to have both. They have to go together. And also, the problem wasn't that he condemned sin where he saw it. The problem was that he condemned other people. He presumed to take God's role as the judge of men's souls and failed to look at his own soul. And then Christ tells us about the publican. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This man was a sinner, and he knew it. And it was his humility before God, and also his faith that God would be merciful, that are the reasons why the Lord closed this parable with this assessment. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You probably heard people say, and you might even have said it yourself, something along the lines of, I can't stand those holier-than-thou types. Very often that's the way people look at Christians, that they're holier-than-thou. Well, you know, the phrase holier-than-thou actually comes from the Bible. We read about that in the prophecy of Isaiah, and Isaiah is prophesying against people who are being hypocritical. He says, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. Here he's talking about the coming of the Gentiles in the future. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day long unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts, a people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrifice in gardens and burn incense upon altars of bricks, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels. And the point that he's making there is that these people who are the people of Israel, the people that are called by his name, are doing all these abominations that God told them not to do. And he describes them as even living among the graves, which of course Jews didn't actually do, but this spiritually is the way that they were living. And then he says of them, which say, stand by thyself. In other words, they're talking to their neighbor. Stand by thyself and come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. And then he sums up what God's thoughts are on this. He said, these are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. If you've ever been around a fire and you had the smoke suddenly get into your face, you know exactly what the image is. And that's how God looks at us when we are looking at other people and we're saying that we're okay because we're better than the people that are around us. The person that said, I'm holier than thou, might have actually been slightly less objectionable than the person that they were looking at, but the problem is they were looking at the wrong place. They should have been comparing themselves with God's standards of righteousness, not with the standards of everybody else. Metropolitan Anthony Bloom once said, God can save the sinner you are, but not the saint you pretend to be. The sinner that you are, if you will admit that you're a sinner and you'll come before God and ask for his mercy and his forgiveness, God can forgive that person. He can bestow his grace and his mercy upon that person because that person's open to it. That person's asking for it. But a person that pretends to be a saint that they're not cuts themselves off from God's grace. They're not open to it. They're not even aware of their need. We shouldn't judge ourselves by comparing ourselves with other people. We look at other people and we might be tempted to think that we're better than they are, but we really don't know, because maybe we see them at a bad moment, but when we're at a bad moment, we make excuses. Oh, it was a temporary failing, it wasn't so bad. But for all we know, we might have just seen that person at a very weak moment, but the rest of their lives, they're living a saintly life. We really don't know. Only God can look into somebody's heart and to see what is there. And what we have to do is we have to stay focused on our own spiritual life and make sure that we are striving for God's mercy, and we're aware of our own sins, and we're asking for God's forgiveness and not pretending to be something that we're not. So as we begin to prepare ourselves for the fast, let's begin to pray the words of St. Ephrem the Syrian. O Lord, a master of my life, a spirit of idleness, despondency, ambition, and idle talk, and give me not, but rather a spirit of chastity, humble-mindedness, patience, and love, bestow upon me thy servant. Yea, O Lord King, grant me to see my own failings and not condemn my brother. For blessed art thou unto the ages of ages. Amen.